Grasshopper New Media presents.
Ladies and gents, it's the Great Big Small Business Show, starring Becky McCray.
Welcome to the Great Big Small Business Show. I'm Becky McCray, back with our team of small business experts here to share our own real-world experiences. This week's topic is the one thing that we wish we had known before we started our businesses. First up on our team is Ben Yoskovich, who's going to share with us that there are some things that somebody just has to be the one to do it.
What I wish I had known before I started my business. How much time do we have today? I'm actually locked into a short segment here, but this is the kind of topic where I could go on for quite a while. Starting a business is nothing if not a massive, incredible learning experience, and of course it's ongoing. After 10 years in business for myself, I sometimes still feel like a newborn pup. Having said that, and I've been chewing on this topic for a week or so, I've come up with a couple of things that I want to share. For starters, I wish I had known how important being a good salesperson was before I started my business. I was the de facto sales guy for my company when we first started. The other three were technology guys. They didn't really have any interest in meeting customers, chatting on the phone, or putting on presentations. They looked to me for that. Over the years, I've gotten better at it, thank goodness. But back then, I was terrible. What's worse is that I didn't put enough importance on good salesmanship. I assumed with our obvious technical talents, competitive pricing, and great customer service, that sales would just, well, they'd just happen. And I guess they did, at least a little bit, but nowhere near the level we needed or wanted them to be. The mistake I made was in assuming other people would recognize the value in my company without me presenting it well enough. I'm not talking about uber slick brochures or song and dance routines or a used car salesman tricks. What I'm talking about is being smart about sales. I think part of me assumed people would see value and become clients, and part of me was just hoping and praying that I was right. The greater awareness here is that if you've got weaknesses in your business, be they in sales, marketing, customer service, or what have you, those weaknesses need to be addressed before you start your business. Or at least very quickly thereafter. This is partially common sense, but common sense isn't always so common. And even though I remember thinking about my company's weaknesses and recognizing that they would hold us back, I wish I had known how much that was going to be the case. If you can identify weak spots before you put up your open for business sign, you'll be in a much better position. Of course, you can't just identify problems. You need to find solutions too. But even the act of sitting down and writing out your business's strengths and weaknesses is going to be an advantage in the long run. That's it for me today. I hope I helped just a tiny bit if you're thinking about starting a new business. I wish you the best of luck.
Thanks, Ben. Next up for the team, and calling in from who knows where, is Chris Brogan. Chris says it is the other things that make it work. Chris?
Hi, this is Chris Brogan. The one thing I wished I'd known when starting a small business was that the part you love is rarely the part you're going to focus your energy and your time on. I wouldn't be surprised if somebody else doesn't make the same comment about this same topic, because I think most of us think with our passion first. I am doing the job of my dreams right now, and I am doing stuff that I love to do. But believe me, the percentage of my day that allows me to actually do the best parts of my job is a lot smaller than I wished or that I'd known that it would be. And it's okay, because what it turns out is, the parts that you need to do to keep the business running are just as important as the part you love to do. But you do need to be aware of that. Say, for instance, you love cooking. Well, if you run a restaurant, cooking is one thing you do a lot of, but so is also hiring, getting your dishes taken care of, doing lots of ordering and supplying, promoting, advertising. There's all kinds of things around getting people into your restaurant. It's not as easy as making food you love and then people show up. Think about it. Think about the supply chain you need to get that done. I think that's the same with every business that we decide to do. There's some amount of overhead that has to be taken care of so that you can do the stuff that you love to do. So that's my one thing that I wished I had known or thought about before going into business. But I'll also be willing to say that it wouldn't have changed matters much either. This is Chris Brogan from Network 2. Come to network2.tv to see the greatest in internet TV shows. Thanks.
Thanks, Chris. Now it's Colleen Wainwright's turn. And she would like to know, how long is all of this going to take? Colleen?
For those of you who are regular listeners here at the Great Big Small Business Show, and thank you, by the way, I'd like to start out my segment this week by apologizing for having been AWOL the past few weeks. It's been a very busy time here at Communicatrix Designs, and I've had to tend to business, which leads me to my answer to, actually, my own question. I believe I submitted this one. What is the one thing you wish you'd known when you started your own business, or actually before you started your own business? And for me, it was, I wish I had known how much time everything would take. And I don't say that to say, oh, it takes so much longer than I thought. Sometimes it actually takes less time than I thought. But I really didn't have an accurate idea going into business for myself how long the activities, the various activities that I have to perform in the normal course of my duties as a graphic designer, how long each one of them took. So the one thing I wish I had known was to clock my hours before I got started, before I actually went out on my own to do a sort of test run on timing with a few jobs before I was actually flying solo. And I didn't know how to do this. I was keeping very inaccurate records with pencil and paper. I'm sure that works fine for some people. I'm sure the Excel spreadsheet works fine for some people. I'm sure a Word document, a text document. I think the main thing, obviously, is what will you do? What will you actually, what can you implement and follow through with? For me, I finally found a fantastic tool. I'm Mac-based, and it's called Office Time. It's a piece of shareware, and it's a terrific way to track your time, your hours. You can set up various categories, and it'll quick sort things for you and give you quick timesheets, basically, and quick inventories of how much time you've been spending and how much that time's worth. What I did with mine was I wound up setting up categories for the various types of things I do, because I do a mix of things, design, writing, administrative work, yada, yada, yada. And I actually do it at different price points because I'm still sort of training my old clients to get used to the idea of my new rates. So I'm slowly bringing them up to where my rates are now. So I'm able to break it down by different hourly rates. And it's been unbelievable the difference in my peace of mind being able to track these hours. Like I said, what I was really most surprised with was not that I was spending too much time on some stuff, but that I was actually pretty under what I thought I had been with other things. It was a huge relief. Now, I also realized there's always room for improvement, but what was really great was just to have an accurate idea. And I suppose that's a pretty important thing across the board before going into business for yourself, is to have an accurate idea of how much things will cost, an accurate idea of how much you spend on software in a year. So maybe you know how much time you spend on various activities, but you don't really know, you've never really done an accurate sort of a spreadsheet or breakdown on how much you spend on various things. And I know maybe a lot of you are very well organized and do this. I wound up taking a pricing and marketing workshop for graphic designers that, while it wasn't helpful in every way, one of the ways in which it was hugely helpful to me was to actually take a cold, hard look at what I was spending on various things. It forced me to actually go through my receipts for the previous year and break down into categories how much I was spending on what thing. And I was able to determine an hourly rate from that. So accountability to oneself, so important. And I so wish someone had sat me down and said, Colleen, this is really, really important before you go out on your own to know what you actually need to charge per hour and how much you actually spend on Photoshop upgrades in a year and things like that. Anyway, this is me, Colleen. Thank you very much for listening to my little piece of the Great Big Small Business Show, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks, Colleen. Now we turn to Ted Demopoulos. Ted has some of those things about business that seem like they ought to be obvious, but they're a lot harder to figure out when you're working in the middle of them. Ted?
Hey, Hi, this is Ted Demopoulos. Glad to be back after missing a couple episodes. Recovering this evening from an unexpected emergency trip to the doctor's on Sunday night, and even a little more traumatic, my latest book, What No One Ever Tells You About Blogging and Podcasting, actually getting released and being on the shelves. And that has taken far more energy. Quite honestly, I'm fine and expect to live a long life as well. What I want to talk about today is the one thing I really wish I knew when I started my business. Took me 15 years to figure this out. I guess I'm not that bright. Most of you will figure this out sooner if you haven't already. This might seem obvious. But many of us, when we start a business, either give up quickly because something isn't just right, it's just not working out, or more likely, we're immediately successful. There's a lot of immediate success. Why? People do planning. You might have opened the only pizza shop in a college town that serves beer. In other words, you found a great niche. Or you found a need that needs to be fulfilled, so you get some pretty quick customers. In my case, I started as a consultant. And when I left work for my corporate job for the final time, Friday at 5 p.m., got home at 5:30, I was on a client's clock as soon as I walked in the door and sat down in front of my computer at home. And I find a lot of businesses start with success. Certainly a lot of consultants start with number of clients dying to use them. But you know, you can't live on past success. You have to keep getting yourself in front of people. You have to keep growing your reputation. What this really is marketing. You have to market. Now, marketing and sales are very different things, and I'll admit that sales scare me. I don't understand sales. Although I know some very talented salespeople who are very gifted and great people, the kind you want selling to you because they won't waste your time. They're not like that sleazy car salesman stereotype. Still, I'm afraid of sales. Marketing's different. You're not trying to sell anything specific to anyone. You're not trying to get someone to sign on a dotted line or drive out in some car. Instead, with marketing, you're trying to spread your reputation. And you're trying to keep your name or company's name out there. Now, the great thing about marketing is there are so many different kinds of marketing. And there's probably something that you like, that appeals to you, or at least that isn't too bad. For example, maybe you like to speak. There's always a lot of opportunities to speak. And yes, some speakers make lots of money, but don't count on that. If I count the number of highly paid speeches I've made to the ones where I've been asked to get up and speak, maybe for the local Rotary Club, or the Chamber of Commerce, or maybe at a large trade show, large industry trade show where they are usually looking for speakers. There's a lot more speeches I've given just to get in front of people. The great thing with these speeches is you're not expected to be great. You're just expected to have good, useful information. In other words, you're not expected to be a professional speaker. Now, a lot of people are terrified of speaking. There's other things you can do. You could write. For example, you could write articles. Lots of places are looking for articles. It's not necessarily trivial to get someone to publish an article, but it's not that hard. Or you could write a blog. Develop your expertise that way. That's fairly straightforward. There are no barriers to entries with blogging. Or you could write a book. That's a little tougher. But a worthwhile endeavor. A lot of people want to write books. I can tell you, since I've written my two, I get contacted by all kinds of people for work who never would have heard of me otherwise. Other things you can do? Well, you could get press. Various ways to get mentioned in the press. You could issue press releases on new things with your company, maybe through PRweb.com. Also, local newspapers are always looking for local news. So if you rewrite your press release a little to say something like, local man or local woman does whatever, you'd be surprised how often the local newspapers might actually print it. Another thing you can do is simply volunteer. Volunteering is a great way to get yourself in front of people, particularly if you take somewhat of a lead role. You might start business successfully, might be a little bit of a challenge, might not, but to continue being successful, you need to market. That means keeping your name out there and getting more people to recognize you as essentially an expert. Hey, if you're speaking, you're an expert. If you're writing, you're an expert. If the press is quoting you, you're an expert. That's what everyone thinks. It's not too far from the truth. So what I wish I knew when I started my business 15 years ago was I needed to market. That's it for now. Thank you, and hopefully I'll be back next week.
Thanks, Ted. Now, my take on this topic, what's the one thing I wish that someone had told me before I started my business? I'm sure somebody did tell me, because I've been very lucky to be surrounded by experienced business people inside my family and others, and I've had a lot of mentors who I think very highly of. So if I have thoughts to offer on this subject, it is to surround yourself with experienced business people, people who have done this type of thing before, because trust me, whatever this is, you are not the first person that has done this. Seek out the advice of other people who can help you out. And it just so happens that the topic of our last contribution today is also about people. It's our own resident philosopher, John Swanson.
So, do you have your speech written yet? You know, the one that you're supposed to give? Is it in your pocket yet? This is John Swanson, the entrepreneurial chicken. And I'm talking about the thank you speech. I mean, when you win the award that you just got nominated for, and you stand up there and you have to say thank you to all those people who helped you get to where you are now, do you have that speech ready? Is it in your pocket? And you're saying, what award show? What nomination? Nobody would nominate me for anything. If that's the case, does that mean that those people that have helped you get to this point never get their thank you speech? We're coming up on Thanksgiving in the U.S. in a couple of weeks, way faster than I wish we were. And it's probably a good time to be thinking about thank you. Who would you put in your thank you speech? What people who have made a difference, what customers who have had an impact on the success of your organization up to this point this year or throughout the life of your company, who are the people that would love to hear thank you from you if you were standing up behind a podium? If I had to guess, I would guess that they would love to hear thank you if you were standing right in front of them as well. So, here's your assignment for getting ready for Thanksgiving. You have been nominated. You are up for an award. Write your speech. And then rather than waiting for all those interminable announcements after having a really cheesy dinner, start going through your list and thanking those people. maybe, if you get it written, you might get it done by Thanksgiving. And then, just think of all those people that will be thankful for you. This is John Swanson, the Entrepreneurial Chicken. I'm too chicken to do what you do, but I'm really glad that you're running businesses and making a difference in the world.
Thank you, John, and thank you to our whole team, Colleen Wainwright, Chris Brogan, and Ben Yaskovich, who contributed this week. And thank you to you for listening. We appreciate you taking time with us. If you have any comments or you have any questions about any part of small business, we'd love to have your feedback. Our listener line number is 206-666-3768. And our website is gbsbs.com. Feel free to leave your comments with us in either of those ways. Thanks for listening and have a terrific week.